The headlines, the battle for Bakhmut continues. Russian forces say they've taken control of the entire eastern part of the Ukrainian town. South Africa's parliament votes in favor of downgrading the country's relations with Israel over the regime's deadly crackdown on Palestinians. And also in our headlines, clashes once again break out between Peruvian police and people protesting against President Dina Boluarte in the capital Lima. Our top story for this half hour, Russia is taking control of the entire eastern part of the flashpoint Ukrainian town of Bakhmut. That's according to the head of the Wagner Group, a Russian private military force fighting in Ukraine. Yevgeny Prigozhin said the only area left to capture is the river which bisects the town. Russian and Ukrainian forces have been locked in a fierce battle in Bakhmut over the past few weeks. Kiev has repeatedly asked for more Western ammunition and military equipment to defend its positions in the current epicenter of the war. Capturing Bakhmut would be a strategic gain for Russia, as it would enable to seize the rest of the Donbass region. Earlier, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky warned against the fall of the town, saying it would create a, quote, open road for Moscow into eastern Ukraine. Russia has censured U.S. officials' assumptions without investigation that saboteurs were behind last year's attacks on the undersea Nord Stream gas pipelines. The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov has once again called for an urgent and transparent probe into the incident. Peskov said recent media reports are a coordinated effort to divert attention from the real culprits. His comments follow a report by the New York Times that a Ukrainian group might have carried out the attacks on the pipelines. The report presumed that the saboteurs were most likely Ukrainian or Russian nationals or some combination of the two. However, Ukraine's defense ministry has rejected the allegations of Kiev's involvement in the sabotage. Moscow has been pressing for an international probe after a U.S. investigative journalist alleged Washington to be behind the incidents. The U.S. has rejected Russia's claims, saying that Moscow is trying to distract the world from the war in Ukraine. And reports suggest that U.S.-led international sanctions on Russia have begun to erode the greenback's decades-old dominance of international oil trade. According to trade sources, Indian consumers have paid for most Russian oil in non-dollar currencies after the West imposed an oil price cap on Moscow late last year. The same sources confirm that oil transactions between New Delhi and Moscow in the last 3 months totaled the equivalent of several hundred million dollars. India's Russia's top outlet for seaborne crude, the group of seven developed economies, the European Union and Australia, agreed the price cap in December 2022 to bar Western services and shipping from trading Russian oil unless sold at an enforced low price to deprive Moscow of funds for its Ukraine war. While Peruvian police have clashed with protesters venting their anger at the government of President Dina Boluarte in the capital Lima. The police fired tear gas to disperse the crowd that had gathered in the city's Revolution Square. They were demanding the resignation of Boluarte, the closure of Congress, and changes to the Constitution. The protests held hours after the president gave her testimony to the prosecutor's office that is investigating the deaths during recent anti-government protests. The South American country plunged into crisis in December when the then-president Pedro Castillo was ousted and arrested for trying to dissolve parliament and rule by decree. His supporters have held numerous demonstrations to press for their demands, including the release of Castillo. About 50 people have been killed and over 1,300 injured in clashes between the police and protesters since then. And the Memphis City Council in the U.S. state of Tennessee has passed reforms aimed at curtailing police violence. The move came after the brutal beating and subsequent death of African-American Tyre Nichols at the hands of five officers following a traffic stop. Measures approved on Tuesday include requiring only marked police cars to conduct traffic stops, as well as an annual audit on Memphis police training. The reforms also require the establishment of an independent review process on deaths or serious injuries of detainees in police custody. The death of Nichols on January the 7th sparked protests across the United States and rekindled a debate about the need to change the culture of police violence in the country. And Pakistan has marked the birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi, the 12th Shia Imam. People took part in special gatherings across the region to celebrate the occasion. Nasser Kazmi has more to tell us in this report.
They lit up the sky with fireworks. This is one of the main traditions in Pakistan when it comes to marking the birth anniversary of the 12th Imam of Shia Muslims, Mahdi. Imam Mahdi, known as Imam of Time, was born on the 15th day of the month of Shaban on the lunar calendar around 1200 years ago. Imam Mahdi commands special respect among Shia Muslims who believe he will someday appear on the earth as per divine decree, establish peace and rid the world of injustice, discrimination and other instances of evil. In Pakistan, people decorate and light up the streets and gather inside mosques and other religious sites nationwide to celebrate the auspicious occasion.
The Islamic world is facing lots of challenges and hardships in the present time within and outside. Unfortunately, Muslims are being used by the Zionist enemies against their own brothers in the name of sects or religion. This is a time when we are looking forward to a savior like Imam Mahdi, who will come and lead us out of this anarchy and will lead us to rid the world of oppression and injustice.
Every year, thousands of Shia Muslims attend the birthday celebrations of Imam Mahdi with passionate tributes and distribute votive offerings. They find Imam Mahdi's birthday a chance to pray to God to save them from evil powers and to bring peace and justice to the world.
We are here to celebrate the birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi. This is a very special day for all Muslims around the world because our Holy Prophet promised the advent of the last Imam Mahdi and everyone is waiting for that day. Because when Imam Mahdi will appear to this world, there would be justice and peace everywhere.
Besides arranging mass gatherings, people also wrote letters of love and affection to Imam Mahdi during the night of 15th of Shaban for the fulfillment of their wishes. They also call for global unity and solidarity among Muslims.
While using the occasion to reaffirm their allegiance to the last Shia Imam, Pakistanis believe that Imam Mahdi's birthday is a great opportunity to remind Muslims of their duties against tyranny and oppression. Nasir Kazmi in Islamabad.
China says it's deeply concerned about the Taiwanese president's plan to meet the U.S. House Speaker in Washington. The foreign ministry spokesperson said that Beijing is firmly opposed to any form of official exchanges between Taiwan and the U.S. Mao Ning said, "No one should underestimate China's steadfast pledge to support its national sovereignty and territorial integrity." Earlier, U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy confirmed that he will be meeting Tsai Ing-wen in Washington. McCarthy added he does not have any plans to visit Taipei afterwards, but said China cannot determine where he can go to. This is the second time Taiwan's president will be meeting such a high-ranking American official. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan in August last year that prompted a strong response by China, which staged military exercises around the island. Turkish opposition parties have finally agreed on a joint candidate to be running against Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in the May 14th presidential election. Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the head of Turkey's biggest opposition party, is chosen to oust President Erdogan. Our correspondent Rashan Sagan reports from Istanbul.
An alliance of six Turkish opposition parties has nominated Republican People Party chairman Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu as the joint presidential candidate. Kılıçdaroğlu will be running against President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in the upcoming May 14 elections, with mayors of Istanbul and Ankara, Ekrem İmamoğlu and Mansur Yavaş, to be appointed as vice presidents. This was the condition of İyi Parti leader Meral Akşener to rejoin the alliance after a debate last week, where she refused the naming of Kılıçdaroğlu as the alliance's candidate, which led to her quitting the bloc before rejoining on Monday. Kılıçdaroğlu not only aims at ousting President Erdogan, but also to reverse many of his policies on foreign affairs, economy, and civil rights.
As the nation's alliance, we will rule Turkey with consultation and consensus. The six opposition parties of the Nation Alliance have agreed on a strengthened parliamentary system. During the transition to the parliamentary system, the leaders of other parties will be the vice presidents.
The Justice and Development Party, or the AKP, was counting on opposition parties' failure to find a consensus candidate. However, now that most of opposition parties, including the biggest one, has agreed on one candidate, many believe the opposition has a bigger chance to topple Erdogan and his alliance.
The opposition is likely to win the election against Erdogan because AK Party lost its former popularity in the eyes of the public. Inflation, high cost of living, increase in the rents, etc. Also, AK Party doesn't have a new economic plan to offer to the people. As a result, election campaigns are very important here. If the opposition picks a good candidate, especially in terms of economy, like Kılıçdaroğlu, and if he convinces the public by presenting a proper plan, I guess he can win the election from the first round. Another issue is HDP's nomination. HDP may not nominate a candidate, which they probably will not, because Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu becomes a candidate now. If the CHP also holds a meeting with HDP, the opposition will win in the first round. The vote of the Kurds is very important in this race. If the Kurds lean towards Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the winner of the election will most likely be the People's Republican Party in the first round.
Many believe the May 14 elections will be intense, as the winner will not only rule Turkey, but will also decide the future of the country for many years to come, including its foreign policy and economic strategy. Rahşan Saglam, Istanbul.
In the Philippines, the oil spill from a sunken tanker continues to devastate the environment and livelihood in several coastal towns as authorities scramble to contain the leak. Aerial footage shows the extent of damage the oil spill has caused to the shores of Mindoro Island, with thick sludge being seen along the coastline. The tanker MT Princess Empire was carrying 800,000 liters of industrial oil when it sank last week following an engine trouble. On Monday, officials said they believed they found the vessel and are planning to deploy a remotely operated machine to pinpoint its exact location. Cleanup operations are underway, but local residents have reported nausea and dizziness. Authorities have placed Pola Town under a state of calamity. Scientists say about 36,000 hectares of coral reef and seagrass are potentially in danger. An incident involving Quran being desecrated at a school in northern England has sparked a new row over blasphemy and respect for religious rights in the UK. The incident saw four students suspended from their school in Wakefield. Muslim community members, however, say that they're being demonized in the media over their defense of Islam's holy book. Robert Carter reports from London.
A heated debate has been sparked following the news of four teenage students being suspended from a school in Wakefield, northern England, over a Quran desecration incident. Right-wingers in the media have condemned the suspensions, alleging that the pressure is coming from Muslims in the community trying to enforce de facto blasphemy laws.
I don't care about your religious book. I don't care if it's a Bible, the Torah, or anything else for that matter. These are kids at school.
The police acted, recorded it as a non-crime hate incident, and the boys were, the four pupils were suspended. So that shows that we now have de facto blasphemy laws in the UK.
The students at Kettlethorpe High School were removed after a copy of the Islamic holy text was partially torn and scuffed. It was brought into the school by a Year 10 pupil, reportedly as part of a dare. Rumours quickly spread about the incident, some claiming the Quran had been burned, with a protest planned outside school gates. Amid growing community distress, police and religious leaders intervened, staging a press conference at a local mosque. A mother of one of the pupils involved apologised for her son's conduct.
Firstly, thank you so much for letting me come here today to speak to you. I know that what my son has done is disrespectful. He didn't have any malicious intent, but he's a very, very silly 14-year-old boy who does have some challenges. He does suffer with high-functioning autism. It means that socially he doesn't always realise what is appropriate and what's not appropriate.
After debunking some of the myths surrounding the story and after realising the distress caused to an autistic teenager, the local protest was quickly abandoned. Local religious leaders called for calm and forgiveness. Right-wing pundits, however, were not content to rest. Accusations of the family being forced to an apology sparked an online firestorm with Islamophobic trolling in abundance. News of the death threat circulated the headlines with few reports adding the important context. The threats came from another student, not from Muslims in the wider community. Home Secretary Suella Braverman adopted the idea of Muslims enforcing de facto blasphemy laws.
Blasphemy is not a crime in Great Britain. Religion cannot demand special protection in an open society based on freedom of speech.
Onlookers have expressed concern over the Islamophobic spin being added to the story and a failure to properly represent the Muslim reaction.
The Wakefield Quran story was certainly tainted with a level of Islamophobia. And as a Muslim in Great Britain, part of an ethnic minority and a growing ethnic minority, it's only natural and valid to have concerns about this because we do not want to be misrepresented.
Wakefield is not far from an area called Batley, which is where a similar blasphemy scandal erupted just last year, where a local teacher was found to be sharing insulting caricatures of Islam's beloved prophet to students. Elsewhere across Europe, regular far-right Quran-burning demonstrations have become increasingly more commonplace. This all appears to have put Muslims on the defensive, as their religious beliefs are coming under regular attack and mockery by far-right activists. Robert Carter, London.
That's a wrap for now. Bye, everybody.
Congratulations to everyone on 15th of Sha'ban. We here at Arabi English Radio congratulate all our Muslim listeners on the occasion of 15th of Sha'ban, the birth anniversary of the 12th Imam, Al-Qa'im Al-Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance. Congratulations to all our Muslim listeners on this most auspicious occasion.
Bazaar.
If you look around, nearly every object you see is made of raw material extracted from a mine. Basically, if you can't grow it, you have to mine it. The extraction of minerals, metals, and fuels from the ground is one of humankind's oldest industries, Never more than now has society been so dependent on greater variety and larger volumes of mined products. So it's no surprise that mining fuels our modern world and makes economies grow. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Alireza Ikhtiarzadeh, and this week we will be exploring the mining industry while shining the spotlight on the machinery used in this sector. We wanted to see what types of machines are used and who is actively manufacturing them. Plus, we wanted to understand why the mining sector is crucial to the national economy and how manufacturers contribute to its progress. So, let's roll out the show. Our quest for answers led us to Shahrud City in Semnan province, where we visited a company specializing in manufacturing various mining machines. With nearly 20 years of experience, this knowledge-based company is active in a host of fields. It conducts research, development, and production of equipment needed in various industries. That being said, it also manufactures a variety of excavating, drilling, trenching, and digging machines. The life of any product begins in the design room. This company has researched and developed these machines and has perfected their performance. Optimizing the machine size, speed, and power to carry out tasks has also reduced the expenses related to projects where these machines are used. These machines can be used in agriculture and road maintenance, among other medium-scale construction projects. Most materials needed to make these machines can be purchased inside Iran. Steel sheets, gears, wires, and whatever else is required to build the machine can be domestically found. And if a design requires a particular part, this company can make its own molds to create the parts. You might find it interesting that these machines are currently imported as there is a high demand among mining companies for equipment. So, indigenizing the production of mining machines has been a big step towards supporting this sector. Another benefit to local production is it saves the country millions by cutting back on imports. The beating heart of this knowledge-based company is its research and development department. Here is where all the magic happens. This area employs some of the most talented and experienced specialists to research, design products, and optimize existing ones. But that's not all. The research and development department also studies future projects. This company also dabbles in making equipment used to harness renewable energy. This company not only uses its own expert staff, but also stays up to date on the latest knowledge by maintaining links with the Industrial University of Shahrud. It collaborates with academic institutions and exchanges knowledge with them too. Furthermore, this knowledge firm also uses capacities and resources made available by Semnan Tech Park. Among its services, it offers the execution of projects through contracting. For example, it has used its machines to complete piping and installation of telecommunications manholes for intercity networks. Another example is carving drainage systems in agricultural fields using its trenchers. Over the years, this company has made a variety of award-winning machines, such as drilling machines equipped with fiber optic lights. Moreover, this company has invented 6 products that have been internationally patented. This knowledge-based manufacturer has never stopped eyeing the future and has plans to expand its production units and product portfolio in the coming years. The company we just mentioned is part of the puzzle that helps Iran's mining sector thrive. It is one of Iran's key industries, as the country is one of the top 10 mineral-rich nations globally. Roughly 7% of global mineral reserves can be found in Iran, making it one of the most important mineral producers in the world. Numbers from Iran's Trade Promotion Organization show that last year the sector saw a growth in exports. Government officials, however, say export figures could still be much higher. Furthermore, efforts have been placed on encouraging research and production in knowledge-based firms to increase specialized production, such as mining machines, in the market. And here is where knowledge-based companies play a big role. Okay, time for me to take a little break from here and divert your attention to a report that I made earlier in the week. Everyone, welcome to another special feature of Bazaar. Today, we are discussing energy production, specifically electricity production through gas turbines and some of the problems that come with it. So, at different times of the year, mainly during the summer, we get sporadic blackouts at peak hours, at one of the peak hours, let's say around 12 at noon until 4 to 5 p.m. Because we cannot store electricity, electricity production must always match electricity consumption. But because of the temperature during these hours, during this time of the year, during the summer, high temperatures in particular, negatively affect electricity production through gas turbines. So first we're going to take a look at, well, why that is and how gas turbines work. And also, we believe that we have found a solution at Sharif Innovation Center in one of the companies that has made that solution. And we're going to check that out too. Why do high temperatures negatively affect the performance of a gas turbine? Well, bear with me as I try to explain how a gas turbine works through this prototype that they have here. This is the prototype of the device that would be used at scale. This is not at scale. So imagine this is the gas turbine. How it works is that it sucks air through these air ducts, and the temperature of that air is very important. I'm going to get back to that. The air goes through a compressor here. The compressor compresses the air, which we would need the compressed air for the combustion chamber. A combustion chamber essentially makes this work exactly like a plane engine or a car engine. A car engine is slightly different because the movement that it produces is linear, whereas the plane engine has rotary movement. So that's exactly what it is like because it produces rotary movement. So in the combustion chamber, we add a certain type of gas to the compressed air, and then a little spark creates an explosion, and the explosion, the high pressure air, would then spin our turbines. And the turbines, which have movement in them, are connected to a generator, and the generator's job is to turn movement into electricity, which goes through the power grid and then gets to whoever needs it. Now, the thing here, the important thing about the air temperature is that we need ideal conditions, ideally, for the machine to work at peak performance. And that ideal condition is at sea level 15 degrees Celsius. So the air, ideally, is 15 degrees Celsius, but we don't get that kind of temperature in a lot of places, especially in a hot and dry climate. So we have a couple of options to alleviate that problem. Number one, the inefficient option is to work the compressor a lot more, which would use a lot more energy, but that's not even the issue. The issue is that there's a lot easier of a way. So what they have found at TEPCO company is that they have instead tried to use an ice storage unit to work as a thermal storage compartment, because the thermal storage capacity of ice is 100 times more than that of the water. So here they create ice essentially at midnight until the morning when no one is using the power and the air is colder, because that is what happens. The difference between temperatures during the day and temperatures during the night in dry climates is pretty massive, so it's a lot easier to create the ice during that time. So they do that so that in the morning or at noon during peak hours, 12 p.m. to like 4 or 5 p.m., they have the ice to cool the water that is in the storage, and the cooled water goes through a radiator behind the air duct so that the air, the probably hot air that comes through the chamber, is cooled using the water that is in the ice storage compartment. That water cools the air down to like 15 degrees,
and gives us ideal conditions to work with, so the compressor doesn't need to work that hard. We get our ideal conditions through the ice storage unit, and that is how they are able to offset the amount of electricity that we would lose if we were to use the compressor a lot harder. And that's pretty much how a gas turbine works as well, but also this is the innovation here. A better way to cool the air and get the machine, get a gas turbine to work at peak performance. Other less efficient methods of cooling the water that comes through the chamber. Both of them are called evaporative cooling. The first type is done through a wet media, most likely a cooling pad that you see in water coolers everywhere. So how it works is that there is a lot of surface and they run water through it, and the air is going to go through this cooling pad. So as the air goes through the cooling pad, the water absorbs the heat from the air and evaporates. Evaporation is an endothermic procedure, which is heat absorbing, which means that the heat is absorbed from the air and transferred to the water, which evaporates, making the air that runs through the cooling pad a lot cooler. This is a rather wasteful method because, well, you're using water, because in the method that I showed you, you don't use water. The water is just circulated back into the system. This one, you use water, and it's just generally not that efficient. The other method is even more inefficient. You see it in a lot of places in like outdoors restaurants. They spray water through the air that is going to go through the chamber, and the extremely tiny water droplets absorb the heat from the air and evaporate as they are sprayed. This also absorbs heat from the air, and that is why when you go through the spray of water, you feel a cool breeze, because the air is a lot cooler, because its heat is transferred to the water molecules. So both of these methods are pretty inefficient, and I just wanted you to know about other methods that are used, but they are definitely more inefficient. And the chart is a demonstration of how our thermal storage system would perform in an actual 400 megawatt hour power plant system. When the ice is getting used during in midday, it bumps up the production by a difference of 60 megawatts in a regular 400 megawatt hour power plant. All right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field, who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find the stress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out.
Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If
before I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reached the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem, how is the process towards the solution, and what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space. All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in their on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad startup has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I've been Sarah Dema.
We are almost out of time for our program today, but before we go, let's look at news and trends in the mining sector and its related trades. Here's a brief overview of the country's mining market and exporting activities this year, based on figures from the Iranian Mines and Mining Industries Development and Renovation Organization. A total of over 20 million tons of minerals and mining industry products were exported in the first half of the Iranian fiscal year. These exports are valued at $5.6 billion, according to the IMM LDRO report. Steel products championed the top of export charts with an aggregate value of $2.5 billion. These products include iron ore, semi-finished, and finished steel. In terms of tonnage, cement and clinker topped the list with over 6 million tons. Last year, Iran exported a record high of nearly $12 billion worth of minerals and mining products. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Let us know what you think about this sector by dropping us a line via our email. Thank you for tuning in. It's bye for now.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. One of the keys of life is maintaining the safety of our hearts. And when I talk about the hearts, I mean the spiritual heart, because we spoke about the physical heart. There are a number of things that causes the heart to die. Number of, you know, you can call them whatever you want to call them. You want to call them, let's say, reasons, causes that kills the heart. We want to look at some of these from the words of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam and the Quran. Because once we understand what kills the heart, then we can prevent it, we can stay away from it, we can create a sort of a protection from these things. Because when we are ignorant of what kills our heart, we could do them without knowing, and then as a result, our hearts will die. Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, for example, they mention a number of things, a number of reasons, a number of causes that kills the heart. For example, being cruel, being blind, I mean spiritually blind, you know, having this rust on the heart, and so on and so forth. So, let's begin with a number of these things. One, Allah says, breaking a promise kills your heart. So Allah says in the Quran, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقِهِمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبُهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. And this is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 13. Allah says, because they broke their promises, we have cursed them and made the hearts hardened. We make a lot of promises. We have plenty of mawathiq and contracts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with His servants. We have promises and contracts, as we call them in the Quran, calls it mawathiq, with Allah in terms that I have to pray, I have to fast, I have to be a good person, I have to do a lot of good work. We have these things. These are obligatory acts, right? I'm not talking about the recommended ones. I'm talking about the obligatory acts. When I submitted to Allah as a Muslim, I have agreed to do whatever Allah wants me to do. But when I break that promise and I nullify that contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I have committed a sin. Allah says, because if you break that contract with me, then I will not only curse you, but I will make your heart hardened. And also sometimes we make promises with one another, a husband and a wife, a father and a son, a mother and her children, me and my boss, me and my fellow co-workers, me and people around me. I promise them to do things. I sign contracts with them that I will do certain things. And then I break that promise that I made to them. Now, that's a problem. The Ahlul Bayt, they say, if you do that, or the Quran says, if you do that, then that will become a cause or reason for your heart to die. So we can stay away from that one. Let us take a short break and we will continue right after.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafati, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree,
امام اونطوری که این رو گفته بودم گفته دیگه، اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره، همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری میواز ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. Another cause that kills the heart, another disease of the heart, talking too much. And boy, is that a, something that we do all the time. We can't stop talking. We can't bear silence. If we're sitting together and there's silence, there's something wrong. We have to fill the atmosphere with plenty of talk. But we don't understand that talking too much is actually a disease itself, is actually a problem. Even Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, in a beautiful hadith, he says, silence is a language not many have mastered, which is so true. Now, when we talk about talking too much, there are plenty of hadith in this regard. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them. I will just mention one just to get the point across. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةِ الْكَلَامِ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تُقْسُ الْقُلُوبِ. Talking too much without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would harden your heart. As simple as that. You want to talk, by all means, but make sure you talk is beneficial to you and beneficial to those around you. If it's just a vain talk, talk about just normal things. I mean, I'm not saying do not talk. No, by all means. But it has to be done in a proper way. Talk about things that matter. Talk about things that, make a difference in your life or it helps add information to other people. Because most of the times, we just talk, if you excuse my language, we just talk rubbish for hours and hours on end. We talk about everything that there is to talk about, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and except that which is better for me. So that's another thing that we need to stay away from. طول الأمل, having long hopes. I hope for so much and I dream so much. That is a problem. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, لا يطلن عليكم الأمل فتقسو قلوبكم. Do not have long hopes and the hearts will be hardened and die. ذلك, he explains, therefore, or because, إذا طال الأمد, if your hopes become long, بالمعصية فإنه يرثي قسوة القلب. When you have too much long hopes, which is obviously is considered to be a moral sin, then it will harden your heart. Again, if you want to hope for something good, and don't have too much of them, and not too long of them. Don't think that you will, achieve so-and-so and live in a wonderland. No. You need to wake up to reality. Again, another cause, لأهل البيت, they say, اللهو واللعب. And that's something that pretty much I am guilty of, and those who are like me are guilty of. Having too much entertainment and fun. Our life revolves around our fun. The Prophet says, ثَلَاثَ يُقْسِينَ الْقَلْبِ. Three things harden the heart. إِسْتِمَاءَ اللَّهُ. Talking to vain or listening to vain. وَطَلَبُ السَّيْدِ. Just going hunting for the sake of entertainment. وَإِتْيَانِ بَابُ السُّلْطَانِ. And going to the doors of the governors or the kings or those who are in power. So talking too much or listening to vain and just having fun in form of hunting, he said, it will kill your heart. We need to stay away from that. Thank you for listening. و السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children scream.
There Was the Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.